morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Happy Women's Day. We're here to celebrate you this morning, women. I'm so excited. Go ahead and just stand up. Come right up to the front. We're going to get ready for praise and worship. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. No other name that can save, deliver, and restore.
Tabernacle, how are you doing today? It's great to see all of you. Thank God the heat is on in this room because it's a little cold outside. Say what? It does feel nice in here. Thank God for that. So I have a couple announcements. If you are new, welcome. Hi, it's great to see you. After service, on this side of the building, we have a guest reception room. There's some great people in there. There's donuts. There's coffee. We would like to get to know you. So come over, say hi. Come grab some snacks. I'll be there because I love snacks. That's my favorite, you know. Up next, on next Sunday at 9, 11, and 6 p.m., then Monday and Tuesday, we have a prophet named Andre Bronkhorst. He's coming in. It's going to be a great group of services. So come on out. Invite your friends. Invite your family. Come have fun with us and see what God has in store. On May 28th, we have our annual motorcycle blessing. This is exciting because we get a couple hundred motorcycles out front, lots of food, people come in, and then it's also a fundraiser for Toys for Tots at the same time, which is another thing we love to believe in here. So if you would like to volunteer at this event, contact Jamie Gare or visit the welcome desk in the foyer. Now I have one more announcement in this pocket, senior breakfast. Now, I love senior breakfast too because I get invited to go to hang out with my friends. I identify as a senior because food, so why not? It is on Wednesday morning, May 11th at 9 a.m. at Curly's Chicken House. If you are in the area, if you're free, come hang out, come eat food with us. We would love to see you there. Pastor's there. Like I said, I'm there. So join us, and without further ado, Pastor Spencer, I'll give it over to you.
Praise the Lord. Happy Women's Day. A lot of people ask us why we don't do Mother's Day. And the reason is that I remember it was one of the very first years that we opened the church. We did a full-blown Mother's Day, and a lady just started weeping in the middle of the service. And I waited till after service and asked her. And I said, why aren't you celebrating? She goes, well, number one, I've never been able to have children, so this is not a good day for me. And then she had lost her mom. And so we made it Women's Day because whether you're a mom in the house, amen, whether you struggle to having babies, amen, I just thank God for ladies. I thank God there are two genders, not 101. Glory to God. And after watching my wife have babies, I thank God I am not a woman. Amen. I just learned that it just does not look comfortable at all. And she yelled at me. We just won't talk about that in public. I'm scarred. And it's an emotional moment. Amen. So, but today we get to celebrate Jesus Christ. And I thank God. I want to celebrate Mary, the mother of Jesus. A lot of churches, what they do is they've gone to the other extreme and they've made Mary bad. Mary was seen upon by God the Father as an amazing woman. And I thank God that He chose Mary. Amen. She raised Jesus. She loved Jesus. She took care of Jesus. Man, she didn't even have to whoop Jesus. There was no sin in His life. Amen. Not like my mama. My mama had to whoop me. Jesus, help us all. But today we get to celebrate all you ladies. How many of you got your first gift coming in? Oh, isn't that a beautiful gift? Vianney, can I grab that so I could show everybody online? Just want to show them what they missed. Because if you're not here, you can't have one. Oh, that's right. This is Get Up, Dress Up, Show Up, and Pastor Rhonda's signature, actual signature, is on there. And so that's a nice little notebook for you. Thank you. Yes, Lord, give her twins. Amen. I'm sorry. And then she did receive it. Jesus. I usually get cussed at. So on the way out, you're getting another gift. So this is the gift day. You don't want to miss it, ladies. So this is not just mothers. This is all ladies. If you're in the house, now don't grab one for some lady that chose not to be here. Amen. But if you're a lady in the house, you get a gift coming in and you get a gift coming out. I believe we're giving away our vintage mugs. Amen. Vintage mugs, our Mother's Day mugs. And we're not doing that anymore. We don't have any. Well, you can go really vintage and go steal them from somebody else's cupboard. Hallelujah. But we're all, I believe all the ladies are getting a carnation on the way out and a nice card. The children's ministry are providing that for you. So I just want to say thank God for the ladies. Thank you. Can all the men give the ladies a big hand clap this morning? Can all the men who don't want to be ladies clap your hands this morning? Amen. I'm sorry. That's a whole other sermon topic. We'll move on. Got to get myself in trouble this morning. Jesus, we love you. God, we can't thank you enough for saving our lives. God, we not only need you, we want you. So today, God, as we're celebrating the lives of the ladies that have been in our lives, God, many have lost their moms, many have lost their family members, but God, we declare that the joy of their memory will rise in their spirit, that God, they can look back and have joy and a smile, not depression or discouragement. Lord, we just thank the ladies that are here in the room. We just speak blessing over their lives, that today, God, you are celebrating them as well. Thank you, Jesus, for trusting. Thank you, God, for blessing. Thank you, God, for faith. And thank you, God, that today we can lift our voice and praise you, for you are, hallelujah, you are worthy to be praised. You are a good God. God, we love you. We just want to say, we love you, Jesus. Amen? Let's bless them this morning.
Come on, let's worship the Lord this morning. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. No other name,
no other name
that can save,
deliver, and restore. Oh, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. There is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Whoa.
Come on, put those hands together.
Hey.
Jesus. Whoa.
He's faithful, powerful, wonderful. Jesus is beautiful, merciful, supernatural. Jesus is mighty, worthy. Jesus is gracious, patient, and generous. And there is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Jesus the same, yesterday. Oh, Jesus the same, yesterday,
today and forevermore.
There is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Whoa. Hey, yeah, whoa.
Come on, sing, he's excellent.
Excellent, magnificent. And Jesus is living and giving and loving. And there is
You deserve it all. I'll give you nothing less.
Anointing in the room this morning. Some specifically, someone's having equilibrium issues. You're listing to the left. When he showed it to me, I chuckled. You're not chuckling because you're listing to the left. In the name of Jesus, I command right now, every part of the ear, all the crystals, in Jesus' name, I command you to be whole in Christ's name. I command right now, equilibrium be restored in perfection. Get ready. Now. In Jesus' name. Someone else is having problems with their right knee. You have ligaments that have been destroyed. They're not even there. Your knee is sloppy. In the name of Jesus, I command brand new ligaments to be created in the name of Jesus. God, I'm calling forth a creative miracle from heaven to earth. Angels, go to that nice little room in heaven, bring down brand new ligaments and put them in the body in Jesus' name. There's another individual, you're having a problem on your neck. It's always like almost like you have a stiff neck all the time. In Jesus' name, I command the muscles to be healed. I command right now that rest in the mind occur. Stress, loose. God, peace, come in Jesus' name. Between the shoulder blades, literally the pain stems between them. If you could draw a line at the bottom of your shoulder blades in your back area, the pain goes in between. I command right now the disc to be made whole in Jesus' name. Bulging, get back in where you belong. I command hydration to come right now to the disc. I command strength right now to the muscles. Disc be made whole by the power of Jesus' name. God, you love your people. Jesus, if you'll heal one, you'll heal them all. So God, any sickness or disease in this room, I speak to every disease that's in the body and out of the body, and I curse you in Christ's name. I command right now, disease, loose the children of God by the power in the name of Jesus. God, I bind any spirit of infirmity, you foul demonic spirit trying to bring illness to the body, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Angels, I release you now to set at order to protect the saints of God. And Lord, I thank you that right now, God, no matter whether it's a cold or, God, whether it's a disease that's trying to destroy, that right now, God, comes underneath right now the covenant of heaven. And I declare the promise and the oath of heaven, God, that you gave us, that we can have security and an anchor in our soul. We trust you, God, and thank you for your goodness in our lives. Someone else is having problems in your upper jaw on your left-hand side. In the name of Jesus, start moving it, and you'll feel the release. The pain will go in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you that you are ever faithful. You love us with an everlasting love. Jesus, you paid it all. God, we don't have to pay it. It's already done. So, God, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We love you. Someone else is having problems. It's not muscular. I'm not sure what it is, but it's underneath the armpit on the right-hand side, more towards the frontal flank. In Jesus' name, whatever it is, I pick it off. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. God, I declare healing and wholeness to your saints, your sons and your daughters. By your stripes, we were healed. God, I thank you. You paid the price for our wholeness on this Mother's Day. Someone else having pain with your right hand, your thumb especially. You have arthritic problems in the bones of your thumb. I command right now that spirit of arthritis to be gone in the name of Jesus. I command you to go right now. I command freedom to come. No more pain for the glory of God. Jesus, I love you. Someone else having problems with your throat. It almost feels like every time you swallow, it's almost like you're swallowing a stone, and it seems to get stuck halfway down just over the ledge of your throat. I command right now, I curse the problem in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go, go. I said go right now in Jesus' name. Father, I command wholeness to the throat, to the esophagus right now in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Father, you are ever faithful, and we love you that you not only care that we get to heaven, but you want us blessed here on earth. Jesus, I speak right now to any kind of addiction. You foul spirit, you will not control. Jesus is in control. I bind your authority and power over their life, and I command you right now in the name of Jesus, I said, loose them and let them go. Jesus, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Seven problems with your left hip on the inside of the hip into the inner loin portion. If you start moving that now, you'll feel that release in the name of Jesus. That's the great part about being in the anointing. When you're in the anointing, what ends up happening, the gifts of the Spirit start to move. And that is God speaking to his church, God loving his church. You see, that's the great part about getting a healing, because that's God touching you saying, I know exactly what you're going through. I know what you're feeling, and I'm going to set you free because my Son already paid the price. Amen. So God, we give you praise and honor. Lord, some are standing in faith, been standing in faith for a while. I pray that they will not lose faith. I pray, God, that they will learn, and God, as they stand, their faith will become stronger than it ever has before. And what the devil has tried to do for bad, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command it to turn to good for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way back to your chair, why don't you welcome three or four folks. Say, good morning. Don't go sit down. Don't sit down. Go find somebody. Now, if I want to remind you that if they're COVID concerned, please be respectful and honorable.
Hi, everyone.
Say Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. If you're on, say hi so we know you're here. And let us know where you're watching from. And also let us know what you're doing for Mother's Day. We're going to go to Grandma's house, right?
Yeah. We go to Grandma's house.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have so much fun. So I'm looking on here. I'm looking at the comments. So let me know who's on. Hey, Portia. Hey, Jenny. Hey, Mary. Let us know where you're watching from. If you're watching from New York or if you're watching from a different state. Oh.
I see the state. I got so much fun at pool park.
She had so much fun at the water park about a month ago. So we're still talking about it, right?
Yeah, right. And my daddy, I got a ball. It's just so nice. I got it so much fun.
You had so much fun. Awesome. Miss Jacqueline's on. Miss Rachel's on. Hi, Michelle. Love you, too. Oh, watching from home. Awesome. Happy Mother's Day, Brittany. Green Valley, Arizona. That is a... Oh, bless you. That is a bit away. Who else is on? What are we doing for Mother's Day, guys? As you're getting on, let us know what's going on. Even if you're just relaxing at home, that's 100% fine and okay.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Bonnie. She says hi, Bonnie.
Hi, buddy. Welcome to tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, Kissimmee, Florida. I wish I was in Florida.
Well, good morning,
guys. I actually
guys.
Said that. All right.
We have
but
we
got
to
get going.
We
will see
you
soon. Have a good Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Bye.
Will you guys say, will you welcome Tammy Sumi so she can share what the Lord's doing in her behalf?
Good morning. I just want to share with you guys what's been going on in Matthew 25. I know you hear Pastor up here talking every now and again about it, and hopefully all of you are familiar. If you're not, I'll give you a quick recap. Every Wednesday night, we're bringing in, mostly busing in, about 75 to 85 kids per week that we're feeding. I started this ministry 8.5 years ago. We have been planting without seeing the harvest that I've wanted to see. We've seen harvest, don't get me wrong, but I the Lord tests my patience all the time. I have prayed for so many years for so many big things in my life and not seen the harvest yet. Let me tell you, 8.5 years of planting, and we are seeing the harvest in Matthew 25 like never before. I just want to encourage you guys, don't give up. A day is as 1,000 years. That's not real comforting sometimes, but anyways, don't give up. Trust me, I know in other areas of my life, that's a really long time. Anyways, I just want to share a little bits and pieces. We have, in the last couple of weeks in particular, last 6 weeks or so, my kitchen staff has been coming in, and for at least 30 minutes, there's several of them that go from each classroom before the kids get here and are praying and just drawing in the anointing. And then the last couple of weeks, myself and a couple of other women have gone into classrooms once the kids are here. And the Holy Spirit told me a couple weeks ago, there's an anointing for healing. So I'm like, let's just go after this. It turned into... anybody that wants prayer, just come on over, right? So there's a couple of us laying hands on kids and just incredible things happening. We're seeing salvations. Last week, the age range of these children are second and third grade, so probably 7 to 9 years old. They wanted the gifts of the Spirit, praying in tongues, right? They wanted the baptism. Two little eight-year-olds had hands laid on them by one of our volunteers. Yeah. And receive tongues. Those two laid hands on two of their peers who also began speaking in tongues. We are giving them the power that they need to go into their environments. And I know in my spirit that we have turned a corner in this ministry, that people have been sent to reap the harvest that I've been planting with so many volunteers for so long. And I'm just so darn excited to see these kids' lives change, to see their power just go out into their families, their schools, and their community. Because an hour a week isn't enough. We've got to equip them. I mean, times are short, times are tough. Feeding them a meal and a little Bible story is not enough. We are going to give them the power tools they need. And just I'm done, but I would just like anybody that's been serving in Matthew 25, I just want you to stand. I think you guys are just literally the most amazing team ever. Thank you guys so much.
And if you want to join, that's the lady. Pretty easy to find her, but it is incredible. But man, we're going to go to our time of tithes and offerings, and people often get weird about it, but I don't think it's weird to talk about what many people's lives revolve around is finances. And I want to encourage you, God wants to be involved in every single part of your life because God wants to bless every single part of your life. And last week, we started talking about just breakthrough, that we're believing that God's going to start to show breakthrough in every single area of our life, but specifically that we're going to be praying for our finances, that we're going to see raises, we're going to see blessings, we're going to see increase, we're going to see new jobs, that we're going to see back payments on things that were owed to us are going to get paid back, that we're believing that God's going to do something supernatural. Just a couple people in the front are believing it, I guess. That God's going to do something supernatural on our behalf. It's not just what we give, it's what we give in faith for and what we stand in faith for. Who wrote down last week something on the back of their envelope that they're praying for? Well, I hope that you are praying for it all week long. But today I want to share with you out of this same idea, out of Psalm 23. Most of the time you only hear it at a funeral. But really, I think it's a key to living because David said it like this, the Lord is my shepherd. And when you have a shepherd, everything else falls into order. Man, to have a shepherd means we know the direction. To have a shepherd means we know that he's going to keep us safe. To have a shepherd means we know that he loves us and he's going to give us direction and he's going to tell us what to do and how to do it. And if we look at this from even a financial standpoint, if the Lord is my shepherd, he's asked me to tithe and to sow. And this is what the rest of it says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though things might be and feel a little bit sketchy, even though it might feel like it's a little bit dark and I can't see how it's going to turn around, the Lord is with me. And the great thing about it is when the Lord is with you, he'll prepare a table before your enemies so you can eat the feast. Your cup will run over, just like the Bible says. And this is the part that I really want to key on real quick. Is it says, at the very last verse says, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, this is an interesting thought because many people, what they do, instead of following the Lord, they chase goodness and mercy. You know, they chase making their own goodness. They chase making their own mercy. They chase creating what they think is the best in their life. And I get it. We want the best. We want goodness and mercy. But the key that David shared is that when the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have to chase it. It chases me. Because when we chase goodness and mercy, it's like a dog chasing their tail. Even if you catch it, it's going to hurt a little bit. But when the Lord's my shepherd, it's going to chase me. And I believe if we want to see breakthrough, it's determined on this. It's how close can I get to the shepherd? Because when I'm close with the shepherd, everything else falls into order. Everything else falls into line. And I believe that goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Look, we're going to continue with giving and with sowing, and we're still believing whatever you wrote down last week. And maybe this is your first week. I want to encourage you to write something down on the back of this envelope that you're believing in faith that God's going to do. You're believing in faith that God's going to show himself strong for you in this area, in this specific thing. And that we're going to see breakthrough, and that goodness, that mercy is going to chase you down the faster that you chase Jesus. Amen? Amen. We do giving probably a little bit different than most churches. There's an envelope. That's normal. But we actually bring our offering to the Lord. We want to make this an act of worship that, God, I love you. I don't have to, but I get to give to you. It's not a membership requirement, God. It's from my heart that I'm going to honor you in this area. And we're going to do that today. Maybe you don't have an envelope or you're not giving by cash or check. You can go online. You can text. All the information's on the screen. If you're watching online, you can do the same thing. But I believe that God's going to bless you, not because you're obligated to give because of a membership, but because you honor God in what he's asked you to do. Amen? Amen. You guys can all stand to your feet. We're going to declare our supernatural blessing. And this morning, Cole's going to do it because he's on the front row. Pastor wants to do it. I lied. Pat, you going to save Cole like that?
I'm not preaching this morning. And there's a very scary knife sitting on the thing. Okay, I'm moving over here. All right, are you ready? How many believe the Bible is true? Do you believe it? Ready? Then shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching online, this is your moment, your opportunity to give right where you are. If this is your church home, this is where you give. If you're, maybe you don't come to the building, but this is where you are at house, and this is your church, get right in there. You can text to give. You can go to our website. You can give there. But I'm believing, God, that you are going to be great tithers right there at you as you are at home participating with us. Have an awesome, awesome rest of the service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. Every single Mother's Day, we've always taken an offering for Pastor Rhonda. We're going to do it a little bit different this morning. In your, whatever they call them, there is a seed offering. And Pastor Rhonda doesn't need she doesn't need anything done. She's in good shape. Amen. You know, when I think about how blessed she is, in fact, Brother Ken, I'm going to have you do those offerings in the back, if you could, and when people leave, they can give back there. But we are, as you know, Pastor Rhonda had a phenomenal passion for pastors' wives. She, being one for 32 years, she recognized that it's really one of the most forgotten and abused positions in the church. You'd be blown away how many people attack the pastor's wife, especially over their children. And then what happens is the husband gets attacked, and then the wife also gets attacked. So what we're doing is Pastor Rhonda had created a ministry. It's called Empowering Pastor's Wives, to where she was ministering to literally pastor's wives all over the world. I'm not even exaggerating. All over the world. And when she passed, we want to make sure her legacy continues. So I just want to give a great testimony. Up till last week, $162,000 has been raised in 3 months for the Rhonda Jean House. Now, Pastor Ron and I were going to do something. We were going to do something personally. We were buying a house in Florida, and we were going to do what we're doing right here. We were going to let pastors and pastors' wives go down there for free and just get refreshed and renewed. We were just going to do it personally. But when she went on to heaven, I said, you know what? I think that her legacy can continue. Can I hear an amen? And so we're in the process of purchasing. We're going to need to raise probably another $90,000, which really isn't a lot. It's a swipe of a pen for a few folk. And I'm just believing God that everybody will sow into her. This is Mother's Day. Sow into her ministry, the Rhonda Jean House. You can make it out to his tabernacle. Every dime that comes in for the Rhonda Jean House will be going directly to that. Goes nowhere else. Not a penny goes anywhere else. Her new book is now being edited. I want to thank God for the editing that's being done right now. We've created a workbook. It's called Going Through the Fire. And she wrote it while she was going through this fire. So we have a workbook that's been created. We have a book that she wrote and she just never published. That it will be published here in the next 2 months. Every penny of those books will go back into the Rhonda Jean ministry, to where the pastor's wives will have their airplane tickets paid for, so there'll be no cost for them to fly down to Florida or wherever we buy the house, be able to stay for a week, be able to be refreshed and be renewed and being shown, this is what she loved, that they are special and important to Jesus. Amen. So we're just going to ask that if you feel led to sow today into Rhonda Jean, that you could write that out to his tabernacle. Make sure you put RJ or RJH in the memo. If you want to give online, you can do that as well. RJH is the keyword for texting, as well as Rhonda Jean House is on the website itself. So I'm just believing God. I believe that could be done this morning. Can you believe that? And we can go buy that house to get it done and get pastors' wives from all over the nation to be able to go. My vision is to have 5 of them. I want to have 5 Rhonda Jean houses. Now, what I love about my kids are going to run this ministry, not me. I'm busy enough. Corinne is going to run this beast, and she's going to do great. So I just want to say thank you. I know if Pastor Rhonda could speak to you, she'd say thank you. And I know this is that the pastors' wives will say thank you for your giving and your love. So the offering plates will be in the back on your way out. There is no pressure, whatever God lays on your heart. I'm blessed this morning to be able to introduce to you a young lady that when she came into our family, we didn't want her. It's true. She started dating our son. She's a cougar. We won't get into that anyways. That's another thing. And my wife didn't really like Mindy. And did everything in the world to chase her off. But Mindy had a stick-to-itiveness. And she loved my son. And she won my wife's heart over. And they just had a phenomenal relationship. And this morning, I get to introduce to you Mindy Spencer to preach the Mother's Day sermon.
Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm going to do what every preacher does because I think it's important. Can we give Jesus, I mean, an authentic thank you and praise this morning? It's because of him we're all here anyway. So I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. And I just want to testify that everything he said is truth. That is the very true statements that he just shared with all of you. But no, I'm thankful. I'm blessed to be a part of this family, and I was blessed for the mother-in-law that I had. She was absolutely an amazing woman, and I'm thankful for her impartation and just her guidance in stepping into ministry and growing in a relationship with the Lord. So I'm excited to be sharing with you all today. And I believe that this is a word. A few weeks ago, when they had told me that I was going to be preaching, the Lord gave me a message quickly, which is kind of rare. Normally, he's kind of last minute with me, and it stresses me out, and I freak out, and like I'm kind of freaking out a little right now. So if I'm a little sweaty, you know, don't mind that, okay? But I am really excited for today's word. I really believe that it's from the Lord, and I I know it. He's been working on me with this, but I just want to encourage you today that I'm going to be talking about how to be a beautiful, delicate handmaiden for the Lord. I'm just joking, guys. I'm joking. I pray that that's never a message. Who knows? I don't know. That's not my style, but all the men were like, oh, dear God. I wouldn't do that to you. But I will say that this is not a glamorous message in the least. So also, I agree with pastors sometimes. I'm like, Lord, really? This, come on, it's not fair. Anyway, blame the Lord, not me. So I'm going to be going out of Hebrews 4, 12 through 14 today. And it says this. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and the discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked, and this is the main word, exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Let me get a drink, because I'm nervous. I know you're stern. That's fine. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:5, it says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and each man's praise will come to him from God. So the topic today is really about being exposed. And I believe that we're coming back into a place and time in history, because how many of you know the Lord is coming? The Lord is coming. And I know I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want anything to withhold me from going in and being with the Lord. And I know that this is what he desires for his church, for his people that he loves. But I think some things need to happen. I think some things need to be exposed deep within our hearts that would keep us from entering in with him. So one of the main points that I want to point out is the great deception that we fall into. See, the enemy's greatest plot and plan, I believe, is deception. You know, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's his only objective. That's his only motive. That's all he's after, is to completely destroy your life. But I believe he does it through deception. Because if he can get you deceived just a little bit with half-truths and lies, then he doesn't need to do anything more. So he's okay. Like, the devil is okay with you coming to church. He's okay with you coming and sitting in the same seat every single Sunday. He's okay with you smiling at everyone, say, oh, God bless you. God loves you. Amen, brother. He's okay with that. He's okay with you posting the verse of the day on the Bible app on your Facebook every day. He's okay with you throwing some money in the plate. He's okay with you praying. He's okay with you up here lifting your hands and saying, I surrender all. Well, some of me at least. He's okay with those things. He's okay with you shouting and jumping and praying in tongues. But if you never do anything, it doesn't matter. See, this is the thing. We convince ourselves by the deceptions that we believe and hold on to in our hearts, because if the enemy can just say, hey, it's okay. It's just a half. Listen, here's the half truth of it. There's some truth in it. So here, that's how we take the bait, is because it's a half truth. But a half truth is ultimately a lie. And ultimately, that is the thing that brings great destruction and separation to our life from living for God. We can lead people, we can serve, but none of that doesn't matter. He doesn't want you to fully surrender yourself to him. And this is where it gets tricky, and this is where it gets hard, because a lot of us, man, we do it so many times, and sometimes I have a really hard time when we come into church and we come to the altar and we're right here and we come up and we kneel down and we sing out, I surrender all. I surrender all. I give myself away, Lord. I give myself away. And trust me, I know that we do it because we do love God, but something in us isn't fully satisfied with God. So therefore, really, when we do it, we're holding dangerous objects behind our back saying, Lord, I surrender all, but I'm going to hold on to this one thing that's going to deceive me. I'm going to carry this thing that's going to hurt me or others, and I'm going to carry it around, and I'm going to raise one hand up to you saying, I love you just enough to give you some of these things, but I'm going to hold on to the things that hurts me. The thing that ultimately causes the greatest deception and blinds me from seeing the true revelation of your word and the fullness of who you are. Because listen, I don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. And I believe the enemy would love to hold the greatest trophy in front of God's face. Not ones that just willfully walk away, but those that have sat in church for decades saying, but God, I came to your house. What do you mean? What do you mean? But no, we were so deceived with the things we kept secret in our heart that we were unwilling to give to him, that it held us back. It kept us in a place where we couldn't fully see God's greatest potential and plan for our lives. And it's this deception. It's this deception. And we buy lies. He's the God of deception. He's the God of half-truth. He's the God of torment and lies. There's nothing good that comes from him. And this is how it looks. This is how we buy into half-truths and become deceived. Well, you know, I go to church and I read my Bible and I attend 3 weeks out of the month. You know, I serve, I tithe, I'm good. You know, but sometimes I get distracted. You know, we have other things we want to do. We have other things we want to do. And listen, I'm going to step on your toes. I'm going to step on your toes because I care enough about you to reveal truth. That's what God's word does. He loves us and he wants to reveal his truth to us through love. That's the draw in this. It's not to be mean. It's not to shame you. It's not to make you feel bad, but it's to bring you to a revelation that things need to be realigned in your life. And listen, he's been stomping on my toes, okay? But this is what we do. Well, it's okay. I don't need to be in church all the time. God knows my heart. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that one. Oh, it's fine. God, he knows my heart, though, you know. Been struggling a little bit, but God knows my heart. He knows that I'm okay. He knows that I know summer's fun and, you know, these vacations and these sports and this thing, and it's nice, and it's a beautiful day. I just want to sleep in. It's my only day off, but God knows my heart. Man, listen, there's truth in that. Yes, he absolutely does, but the half-truth in it is that it's a deception to make you believe to justify your deception and say that it's okay. How about this one? Well, I'm a leader. You know, I went through Bible school, and now I'm a pastor. I love people. People know that I'm a pastor and I got to live by these things. But you know what? It's okay for me to mess up once in a while because my goodness, I'm human too. Listen, that is true. None of us are perfect. And by all means, I'm not preaching this out of a place of that we need to strive for perfection. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to be able to be honest with ourselves, because the minute we start saying it's okay and we make excuses for these decisions and choices we make and we blame it and say it in the name of, well, I'm only human too, there's a misconception that deceives us. Well, it's only in my thoughts. As long as nobody knows and I don't speak it out, I'll be fine. But whatever is in a man's heart, so is he. So if that's what you're thinking on, that's what's going to be in your heart. And ultimately, that's what's going to come out. Whether you want it to or not, it will affect those around you. How about some other ones? Well, I've made too many mistakes. I couldn't really be used of God. Well, you're not even a good Christian. That God couldn't use you. You've gone too far. Oh, here's a great one. His grace is enough to cover my sins, which it is. But it's the ones that say, oh, this grace, I can just live how I want to because God's grace is good. It's so good that I can live any way I want to. He's forgiven my past, present, and future sins altogether. No, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. And listen, somewhere along the way, we've all fallen into somewhere in these, where we've allowed the deceptions in the talk in our mind to convince ourselves because we have to justify how we feel to lay our heads down at night. But see, I don't want to buy the lie anymore. I don't want to fall for deception anymore. I want to allow the Lord to expose my heart, to remove anything that's in there that would withhold me from stepping into the fullness that he has, because his love is so great, it's so powerful, it's so real, it's genuine, it's never changed based on man's opinion or views or how they reciprocate God. It's been the same. It's withstood the test of time. It's not changed. It's not wishy-washy. It's not based on what we can do for him. Man, do we not understand that? That when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't do it. How many times do we do that? We do things because in the name of loving people, but really our motive is to get something from them. When God did it with a full expectation that if none of them accept me, it's because I still love them that I did it. I'm telling you, it's his word. It's the loving nature and character of God that wants to expose the deceptions and lies and things hidden within our hearts that would ultimately hold us back. And I don't want to see that for God's people. Hebrews 3:12. Let me read it real quick. This is powerful. Hebrews really exposes a lot of what's happening. Let's see. It says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. And you might think, like, listen, I don't have an evil heart, you know. I'm not making sacrifices in a pentagram, and I'm not worshiping the devil, and I'm kind, and I'm nice, and I'm not evil-hearted. But it doesn't matter if you've attached your being to a lie from the enemy. There's something that's going to cause unbelief somewhere. It's a misconception that does not align with the word of God. It has to be removed from your life. It has to be removed because at the end days, it's saying a great apostasy, which is a great falling away. And it's not talking about people who don't know the Lord. It's talking about believers. Those who have served God and come to his house faithfully, there's going to be a great falling away. And yes, there will be some who willfully choose to turn back to the world. But the greatest, I believe, as I've stated, will be the one sitting in the church, won over by deceptions. Let's remove it today. Let's remove it today. But this is what happens when we abandon our union with Jesus and our hearts being fully turned towards him in faith. Do we just go through motions? I'm not interested in just going through motions. What does that actually do? I'm not interested in playing a religious game. Who cares? Who actually cares about religion? Not me. Why come? Why do you come every single week if you're not going to fully give your heart to the Lord? What does it matter? Go camping. Go on your vacations. Go live life. I don't know why we waste our time. We've got to get rid of it. We've got to get rid of it. Don't allow deceptions to hold your heart anymore. But this is what I love about God's word, is that ultimately he wants to bring us back to a place where we so desire him and only him. Because let's be real, it's only in his presence that there is complete fullness of joy, complete fullness of peace, an overwhelming, satisfying love that can't be, everything that we would ever have need or desire of is in the presence of God. No, I don't think we really understand that, because like I said, we come up here, we get in his presence, but until we're fully surrendered and say, God, search out every part of my heart and take away anything. God, I just desire you, because I know that in you, if I seek you, if I keep you first, I'm going to be fulfilled in every other area, just because your word says that if I seek out the kingdom of God first, all these things should be added unto me. When we really start to get that as a revelation, God will be our only desire. God, I want to please you. God, I want to know you. God, I want to love you. You're awesome, Jesus, because he is awesome, because he is so loving, and it's his love that draws us. It's the goodness of God that draws us to repent. It's the goodness of God that draws us to holiness. Oh, dear God, don't talk about holiness. Wow, holiness, what? You want me to do what? I gotta live how? But listen, it's holiness that brings us in close proximity with our King. It's holiness that, man, there's such blessing and favor when you walk in holiness. It sets you apart. It gives a clear line, a clear distinction of who belongs to God and who doesn't. It's easy to walk in holiness when you love the Lord. It says, be holy for I am holy. He's bringing this church back to a place of holiness. So we can either get on board or it's time to get off. But no more middle ground. His word says that he will vomit those out of his mouth who are lukewarm. Oh, dear God, I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to have a burning passion in my heart that runs to the throne room of God, that runs to the presence of our loving Father, that runs to the open arms of a Father who desires you so deeply more than anything. He created us. Have you ever just sat and closed your eyes and really actually thought about what it is to know the Creator? A Creator, okay? The heavens and the earth and everything in it. The tree, I mean, really look at things. Trees have such detail. The ocean, snowflakes, little tiny things, all the sand. Like, we could go through the list of the intricate detail of this world and a God, and it just makes God even bigger. And it's like, wow, how is God that big? But that he sees you, he knows you, he desires you, he knows you by name. He cares that much about you that he knows the hairs on your head. Why wouldn't we want to run to that God? Why wouldn't we want to be in relationship with him? Why wouldn't we want to search out his word that is a mirror that exposes who he is to us? That's what's so awesome about God's word, is that it's not just something, it is a mirror. It is a mirror that we should be looking in. But it's something that exposes God's character and his nature for us. It's so important. And I believe that that's what he wants to do here today. I really believe that this could be a shifting point in your life that changes the course of the rest of your life. Because he wants to expose our hearts through the nature of his love. See, for the word of God is living and active. See, the word is a representation of a mirror, which kind of works out so perfectly that this has been the theme. Reflections. What does your life reflect? Does your life reflect the word of God? Because I know when I've read the word of God, boy, there's some things that have hit me like, oh my gosh, that hurt. Well, I definitely don't look like that today. Well, they got me really mad, so I don't look good in this mirror right now. Because what do mirrors do? I don't know about you. Some mirrors I really don't like. Some mirrors are a little bit deceptive. You know those funny fun houses that you go in the mirrors and they're like all distorted and stuff? Well, that's not what God's word is. God's word is not a distorted mirror trying to convince you that you're this way or that way. This is the clearest form, the clearest mirror we could ever look in. It exposes, it says it is living and powerful. It is sharper. It piercing between the dividing of the bone and the marrow. It's so powerful enough, yet so gentle and so loving, that it exposes what should not be within our hearts. It exposes the ugliness. It exposes the truths that we've bought that aren't really truths at all. It's the highest form of truth. It is the expression of the character, desires, and purpose of God himself. It allows us to see God for who he is, and it reveals our plan and our purpose. It's a discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked, and here's that word, exposed, to the eyes of him who we must give account. See, this is what it exposes, and this is what I want to challenge you even now. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit. If this is what you desire, he's going to show you. But see, God is a gentleman. He doesn't force his way on anyone. He doesn't get in there and demand that you do these things. It's got to be a willingness. It's got to be a response to the drawing of his love. It's got to be a response of drawing of his powerful nature. And this is what it exposes, our intentions, our desires, our appetites, our will, and our motives. And all will be judged if they are worthy or unworthy. So this is things like this. Because listen, we always seem to think that it's just a sin thing. And I'm not here to just talk about a sin thing. And sin is nothing more than missing the mark. It's missing the mark. It separates us from God. That's all that sin is. It hurts us and it separates us from God. But things like insecurity, pride, sin, idleness, gossip, shame, man-pleasing. Can we stop there for a second? Boy, do we live in a time where it's all about pleasing man and being seen by man and accolades of man. And this world's got to see me and social media's got to see me. It's crazy. We want to please man. And some of us would even be in here today saying, well, no, I don't actually. I don't care what the world says about me. I don't care. But yeah, there's the one person that dictates our every decision because they haven't acknowledged us, they haven't congratulated us, they haven't said good things about us, and we're bought in by the one person that we've been trying to please and strive for a whole. Maybe it's your father, maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a mother, maybe it's a best friend, maybe it's a boss. I don't know who that person is for you, but God wants to expose the idleness and worshiping of wanting to please man. The desire to be seen and affirmed constantly. Boy, if we don't get the credit, boy, we are bent out of shape. I did that work. What? They're getting the credit? They didn't even do the work. I did the work. Or constantly needing to one-up somebody's story. Because you feel left out. Oh, yep, I've done that. I've done that. Yep, I know them. I've done that. Oh, yeah, I've done this. And it's always got to outdo that person's story. You ever been around someone like that? It's exposing an insecurity. Comparison, jealousy, rage, depression. Here's another great one. Independence. What? You mean I am independent. I'm a strong, independent woman. Listen, I'm with you. I am with you. But I don't want to be independent of the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be independent of a relationship with the Lord. Because what does my independence do? I can tell you, for 24 years of my life, it destroyed it. Don't allow independence be the deception in your heart. Control. Control freaks, where you at? OCD, woo! No, kidding, don't raise your hand. Oh, another one, false humility. We walk around. We wanna walk around. Oh, I just do it for the Lord. It's only because of him. But secretly, because we're doing that, we want people to be like, oh wow, look at them. There's always ulterior motives. And this is what God wants to remove today. Offense, altered motives. Let's talk real quick. I have an example for you. My husband yesterday had an ulterior motive. Because see, it's Mother's Day weekend. And we haven't gone on a date in a while because we've been busy. So we have a church softball team now. And, you know, he played Friday night, and I'm really like, dude, we're already so busy, and I don't want all my weekends sucked up to softball because I don't care. But anyway, fine, it's fine, you can play. Friday night, fine, whatever, great, have fun. Saturday, there's a game, but I'm not going to go to the game because I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm going to take you on a date. Aww, such an awesome man. Take me on a date. We go on a date. And, you know, I told him that I'm like, I just need to get my notes together. I need a little bit of time later on because I just need to make sure I'm ready. And so he's like, okay, we don't need to go far. So we go on a date, and it's a great date, and we eat. And then I have to run into Target. We don't really have a plan. I'm like, let's go to Target. So we ran into Target. I grabbed one thing, and he's like quietly, like, hurrying me to go check out, right? He's like, well, you got your thing, right? I'm like, yeah, but I'm not done. Like, we haven't walked around the whole store. What do you mean? Who goes to Target just to get one thing? Not me. So we're walking, and then we go by, and he's like, I can tell he's like this close, to, like following me around. And we go to the men's section, and then he's looking at these athletic shirts, and I'm like, what are you looking at those for? And he's like, well, for softball, I only have this thick shirt, so I was thinking of getting one of these. And I'm in my head, I'm like, for what? He's not playing. So then we get in the car, and we're heading in the direction towards home. And I'm like, where are you going? What are we doing now? He's like, well, don't you want to go home and prepare? And I was like, we've only been gone for like an hour and a half. And then I was like, wait a minute. You are planning to go play softball right now, aren't you? And he got this dumb smirk on his face. And he's like, well, yeah, I figured you. So my husband had an ulterior motive in his heart. Oh, we went to the game. We went to the game. Our date was interrupted with a softball game. But I will say, I was able to get some of my notes done, so that is good, and I'm thankful. But he owes me a full day's worth of date, so. But things like bitterness, unforgiveness, obsessions, racism, passivity, and religion, these are all things that we're deceived in because there are lies within our heart that the Lord wants to expose. And I want us to be so real with yourself. We know it because most of these things, it's the first thought of the day and it's the last thought at night. Every decision or choice we make is filtered through these things instead of the Word of God. And ultimately, it's going to lead down the road of destruction and separation from an awesome God for your life. I want to be like David. David is one of the greatest examples we can see in the Word. He was a man genuinely after the heart of God. Are we people who are genuinely after the Word of God, or are we here just to check off the religious tag for the week and keep it moving? Are we here because we genuinely want to know God more because he's so good and only ever has more for us? Like, what is that? What an awesome God that he consistently wants to keep giving and keep giving and keep giving and keep revealing who he is to us. David said it like this in Psalm 51:10. And this was after he had a great sin and slept with a married woman and got her pregnant and murdered her husband. Okay? This is what he said. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." And then again, he says in Psalm 139:24, "Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." See, this is my prayer, and I mean this. I pray this every day. It doesn't have to be a prayer that we say after a grave sin takes place in our life, but I genuinely want to know the heart of God even more. I genuinely want to please my God and my Father, and this is the prayer of my heart. Anything that's offensive, And I feel the Holy Spirit right now because he wants the same for you. Anything that's offensive, these things I just read, they're offensive to the Lord because he didn't put those things there. His word is perfect. And it says that we're made in his image and in his likeness. He's not jealous. He doesn't try to control you. He doesn't try to make you compare yourself. He doesn't want you full of depression and anxiety or fear. He doesn't want any of those things. He doesn't want you to be full of religion. He wants you free of those things. So these things are offensive to our God. And he wants to remove them. I believe for some, he wants to start exposing the simple separation from the love of not knowing him or serving him. Maybe this is your first time in church. And I'm sorry that this is a heavy message, but I really believe the whole point behind it is to expose his love for you that draws you to him, to show you that I don't have relationship with you, but I desire relationship with you. I desire to know you, and I desire to reveal myself to you. I believe for some, he wants to expose the lifestyles of sin that we've tried hiding from everyone. And simply missing the mark. And I believe there's others that he wants to expose those deceptions and lies within our hearts that we've come in every week for years and years. And he wants to expose them and bring you to a new place because he's a loving God. And ultimately, this leads us to this place of, in Hebrews 4:6, and this is what I think is so awesome. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Once all these things, once we say, "God, I am fully surrendered. God, search out my heart. God, remove anything that's offensive. God, if there's insecurities, if I've gone this way and I've tried to strive to please man, or I've had ulterior motives, or I've tried to grasp the desires on my own for my own purpose and gain, Father, I want to lay it down today. Father, I'll expose it so it can be removed." It says he invites us in to come boldly. We don't have to come before God shaking and terrified that he's just going to destroy us. We can come before him with a holy reverence in awe of how good he is, how gracious he is, how merciful he is, how loving he is. And then it says you can make your requests known to him. So the things you desire, the things you struggle with that you want him to help you in, he can relate to you. Jesus walked on this earth to be the example that he can relate to every single emotion and feeling and circumstance that we go through in this life to say, "I understand and I have compassion on you because you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I love you and I want to bring you into my throne room. I want to bring you into close proximity. I want the fire of my love to burn up everything that would be offensive in my presence so I can bring you to a new place." It's time. It's time to get those things removed. He says, "Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace." See, what's so awesome about the throne of God? It's the ultimate place of authority and power. And he invites us there. He could invite us to any other place in his kingdom, but he invites us to the throne room of God, his throne of grace. Grace is a tool that empowers us to overcome every works of the enemy, to overcome every lie that the enemy would try to put on us, every deception, every insecurity, every ounce of pride, everything that we would struggle with in this world. It is the power that he gives us, and he sits on a throne of grace, an ultimate place of authority. To encounter his love, see, what flows from his throne is favor, mercy, grace, love, power, forgiveness, wisdom. And in his presence before him is everything we could ever need. Ever. It's in his presence. It's in the presence of God that everything, every single desire, every issue, I mean, there's such fullness in the presence of God. That's why it's so important that we're in his presence. Amen. So how do I do it? How do I give these things up? It's just willfully turning your eyes and your attention and your focus and genuinely saying this prayer, crying out to the Lord from a place of a genuine heart that's open and turned towards Him. It says, who can ascend the hill? Those with clean hands and pure hearts. You want to get to the next place in your relationship with the Lord? Purify your heart. Let Him expose. Let's live a life exposed to the Lord, saying, God, whatever's in there, remove it. I don't want not a single thing to withhold anything you want to do in my life. And I just want to love you. I want to know you more. God is so beautiful. He's so majestic. I don't think we understand that because we don't live in a world where we have like earthly kingdoms in America, especially. We have a democracy. We have governments and they are not worthy to be, not going to go there, but we, you know, a kingdom, a king. What? He's so majestic. He's so big. He's so powerful that the heavens and the earth are His footstool, His throne room. It can oversee everything. But He's beautiful. And I know that's a hard thing, especially for men. I have a really hard time understanding the beauty of God. But what would it look like if we got so fascinated with loving God and loving who He is? Because that's His first desire. His first desire in exposing these things are not to embarrass you, not to make you feel shame, not to condemn you, but because He loves you, because He desires to know you. But after we've allowed Him to expose, we have to get rid of it. Let's go in with boldness and get so fascinated with a mighty God. And I'll close with this. I just want everyone to go ahead and just bow your heads for a second. And I really believe that the power and the love and the fire of God, if you allow Him to, will burn up every area and secret thing that you've hidden for so long. And He's going to remove it today. And I believe that He's going to bring you to a new level. He's going to bring you to a greater closeness and proximity in His presence. But would you be honest? Would you allow yourself to be exposed before a mighty King? Would you allow yourself to be completely undone before the Lord? Withholding nothing. Can we stop singing it as a song? Our words are nothing. They mean nothing if we don't mean it from our heart. But what would your life look like if it was completely exposed and purified and made whole and pleasing to the Lord? What would it look like? How would it affect your marriage? How would it affect your family? How would it affect your workplace? What would it do in the lives of your children? If you were to walk out and begin to seek the Lord with a pureness of heart, walking in holiness, what would it look like? But like I said, I believe there's some in here today that the Lord is exposing His love for you, but also the desire to know you and to be in relationship with you. He's exposing that separation, that you've never called on Him as Lord, that you don't serve Him, and He wants to give you that opportunity today. He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross to remove every single thing that's offensive, every hurt, every sickness, all disease. And He wants to be in relationship with you. He died for you. He died with the joy set before Him. You were the joy set before Him. And now He's seated at the right hand of God, desiring to know you. So I want to make this call. If you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never cried out to God saying, God, I need you in my life. I want to know you and I want to be in relationship with you. You've never confessed him as your Lord. I want to give you that opportunity now. If that's you, I want you to just go ahead and raise your hand high. Amen. You can go ahead and put your hand down. Thank you, Jesus. Now for the second call, and I want you to put some action to it. I know that this is first service, but don't leave out of religion and be like, first service is done, I gotta go. Don't miss it. But if you're in here and you know that some of those things I read off and some of those things I didn't read off, some of those things I feel like it's self-harm. Maybe there's an eating disorder that you've kept secret that God wants to free you of today. And ultimately, he wants to expose these things to bring freedom to your life, greater access to his presence. He says we can come to him boldly. So everyone can just go ahead and stand to their feet. And this is what I want to do. I don't want this to be about, oh, we're going to come and shout and lay hands on you. I'm all for that. But I believe that there's holy moments that can only take place between our hearts genuinely turned towards him and him. It's nothing that I can say or do. It's nothing that pastor can say or do. It's between you and your holy God. But I want to give opportunity for the next couple moments that if that's you in this place and you genuinely, wholeheartedly want to make this your prayer of, oh God, search out my heart and remove anything that's offensive and create a new heart within me. If that's you and you mean it with everything in you and you're ready to go to the next place with the Lord and you're ready for him to expose you, then I want to invite you to come up to the altar. And I want you to begin to cry out to the Lord. And I believe that he's going to burn up every insecurity, every bit of pride, every single thing that would try to cause deception in your life from knowing him more. So, if that's you, I would just go ahead and start making your way out of your seats right now. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you've been coming for 50 years. I don't care if you've been coming for 2 hours. This is your first day. I want to invite you up here to allow God to expose those things that he wants to remove, those deceptions, those lies that don't align with his word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to just take the next couple minutes in time of worship. But I want to encourage you, don't hold a knife behind your back this time. But be fully surrendered and turn towards your amazing, loving, holy God. Thank you, Jesus.
know, moms, when you had your babies, you wanted the best for your child that you could give. You would do anything to make sure they were taken care of. You know that in the middle of the nights, husband wasn't getting out of bed, but you were out of bed. You were there taking care of business. Why? Because you love that baby so much. And that's what Jesus has for you. He loves you so much. He'll get out of bed. Not that he has to go to bed. He'll get out of bed. He'll stay up late. He'll do whatever he has to do to make sure that you, his child, is taken care of. Moms, you are such a phenomenal example of how much Father God loves us. And today we just want to say we love you and thank you for serving the Lord. Moms, if you can serve God even in a greater capacity, as Mindy just preached, do you know what your babies are going to do? They're going to be just like you. Because they're going to want to emulate. Sons, you should never want to marry a woman that doesn't love God more than your mama. Amen. That means mama should love God a lot. And in this, we can raise up a whole new generation of young people that are going to serve Jesus with all of their heart. Father, I just speak blessing over every mother that's in the room, over every lady that's in the room right now. God, I thank you that you have called them to yourself. That Jesus, the mothering instinct, that nurturing instinct that's in every single woman, whether they've had a child or not had a child, will go beyond just, Lord, the natural realm and go on into the spirit realm. I pray that there are many that will become spiritual mothers in this house. Lord, they'll take a young woman and they'll start to love her and train her and speak into her life, that they will be able to raise another generation of spiritual children. We speak blessing as we go with our families. God, we pray for a holy boldness that we'll be willing to share the gospel even with our moms that maybe not know, that do not know you. And God, we just thank you that you are like a hen that wants us to gather the chicks. You even, God, have a nurturing instinct. Thank you for that. And we thank you that you've gathered us this morning, that you've loved us this morning, that God, you realign some of us even this morning so that Jesus will be more like you. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You don't have to leave the altar if you don't want to. We love you, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, don't forget on the way out, you have another gift. Don't forget, the prophet will be here next Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. You don't want to miss one of these services. We have not had a prophet in 5 years. Now, if you're hiding sin, you might want to get that taken care of before you come. Glory to God.